Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of The Interview Show. My name is Jerome Cusan, and here tonight we have got a big addition to the program as we're going to be talking a lot of Drangate USA a little bit later on in the show, but for right now we are going to discuss the show that I'm going to be attending next week as AAPW out of Marion, Illinois is going to be presenting a huge event on January the 14th. It is called the Main Event, and there are going to be a number of big-time matches and international superstars that are going to be making their way to Marion for this show. We have two people from AAPW to discuss the event. First is Chris Hagstrom. And Chris, why don't you talk a little bit about what you do with the promotion, and are you excited for next Saturday to come?
Well, it's only right now, as we're taping this, it's a week away, but I don't think I'll be able to sleep from now until then. I'm honestly just so excited for this show. My name, as you said, is Chris Hagstrom, the executive producer for All American Pro Wrestling Collision, our television show that airs on ABC affiliate WSIL TV3. I was also named the new promoter for AAPW as the owner slash promoter, Sean Chambers, has stepped aside for a little while, and a lot of responsibility, but honestly, I'm excited for the new role. I'm excited that AAPW Collision has taken off, and I'm just glad that it's almost here because, to be honest, there's a lot of work involved, and I'll be glad just to get to that date.
And Adam Testa is also here. And Adam, why don't you talk a little bit about what you do with the promotion as well as your excitement level for next week?
Sounds good. I'm the marketing director for All American Pro Wrestling, which basically means it's my job to get people like you to care about us. And we think Main Event is going to be a huge step in that direction. For the 5 years that AAPW has been around, it's mostly been a small local company, and we still want to maintain that, but a show like Main Event with the caliber of talent that we have coming in is going to help take us to the next level and make us more a known player on the indie scene throughout the Midwest and hopefully nationwide. I think Chris said it, the next week's going to be rough trying to get through everything and try to not be constantly thinking about the show, trying to make sure every little thing is in place. It's hard to believe that it's less than a week away, and it's just going to be a great time. A lot of things that I never thought I would see in an AAPW ring, and it's just shaping up to be a great Saturday in Marion, Illinois.
So, Chris, I'm going to ask you, what is the significance of this event specifically as it relates to the history of AAPW?
Well, Adam briefly touched on it. AAPW has been around for a little more than five and a half years. And in its time, it focused on family-friendly entertainment, local entertainment, with the occasional big draw name they would bring in. The actual reason AAPW was created was for a family who a horrible fire had ravaged their home, and their first show back in October of 2006, the exact date was October 7th, 2006, and they raised over $5,000 for that family, brought in Jim the Animal Neidhart, the Naturals, the Headliners, Cowboy James Storm. It was just a great show for the region, for that small community, and that's what AAPW has been about. But with the addition of AAPW Collision and now Main Event, this is going to take AAPW to the regional, almost, you know, the baby steps to national prominence. All American Pro Wrestling will always be about family-friendly entertainment, but now it's time to take it to the next level. In 5 years, they've had some good shows, and like all promotions, they've had some not-so-good shows. In, you know, more recent years, 2009, slowly in the early stage of 2010, AAPW has not done so well. The shows weren't drawing. There was some internal conflict, but now, with myself, Adam Testa, some other behind the scenes players stepping up and stepping on board, it's time to get AAPW to the next level. It's time to get AAPW to that regional level, to that national level, and there's no better way to do it than bringing in the caliber of talent that we're bringing into this show. And it's not just gonna be a one time off. It's not gonna be you're never gonna see this level of talent again in AAPW, but if you're going to start something and you want to start something to roll like regionally to go nationally, you want these three people on your show. Of course, I mean Boom Boom, Colt Cabana. I mean the generic luchador El Generico, and of course, as I just had alluded to, Pac, the man that defies gravity. You want those three? They're three almost completely different talents, but when you bring them on a show, it can just be magic.
So, Adam, let's get to you first, and without further ado, I think we should talk a lot about Pac and El Generico, since they are the names that I think the most people on this website and who follow Pro Wrestling Ponderings are familiar with. Adam, why don't you talk a little bit about this match? It is going to be Pac versus El Generico. They have met before in PWG, and both have been a part of Ring of Honor in Dragon Gate and Dragon Gate USA. But why don't you talk a lot about this match and how much you're looking forward to getting to see these two men live?
Yeah, definitely. I have followed Dragon Gate USA since their first show. I had the opportunity to attend one of the shows in Phoenix, WrestleMania weekend, and I really thought that the Dragon Gate USA show was a better experience all around than WrestleMania itself was. So I've been a big fan of Dragon Gate for 2 years or whatever they've been around. And in that time, the one person I have not gotten to see live that I wanted to was Pac. And never in my life would I have dreamed that I would get the opportunity to be part of the team that made that match happen in a town like Marion, Illinois. Like you said, they've wrestled before in California and all over the world. They've been on the same cards, but this is probably a safe bet to say it will be the first time and last time that you will ever see Pac versus El Generico in Southern Illinois. We're 2 hours from St. Louis, but we don't really have a big city. We're honestly not a big promotion. We don't have money. We don't have the big names coming in all the time. So this is a special treat for both our fans and for us as the promoters and people behind the scenes in AAPW. It's kind of a dream come true for us, and it's one that we're looking forward to sharing with our fans and to everyone in attendance on Saturday. And it is certainly the match that is bringing a lot of people into our show. As you mentioned, you'll be attending our show this weekend, and I'm sure that match honestly has part of it to do with that, that you'll be willing to come down here and see that. So we're hoping that people enjoy this match as much as we believe they will. I know that I'm certainly looking forward to taking my spot ringside, doing my photography, and getting the best seat in the house for that match.
Now, Chris, I want you to talk a little bit about another match that is going to be taking place, and this is going to be featuring the other guest star, I guess you could say, as Colt Cabana is going to be taking on Eric Wayne, and this is obviously a big opportunity for the third-generation superstar. We know what Cabana practically has an audience unto himself with the podcasting and the merchandise and all that stuff. But what are you looking forward to about this match in particular?
Well, for a professional level, bringing in Colt Cabana for this show is instant recognition for us. You look at the Summer of Punk 2 earlier last year, and Colt Cabana was a trending name. I mean, you saw him at Money in the Bank. People got familiar with who Colt Cabana is again, and his booking sheet just skyrocketed, getting booked to all these major organizations. And now having him come 6 hours south from Chicago to AAPW, and that's going to give us some instant recognition. For 3G Eric Wayne, this is some retribution for him. Now, Pro Wrestling Ponderings covered this earlier last year, but we were supposed to have Davey Richards on our AAPW Collision television show. It was supposed to be 3G Eric Wayne taking on the best in the world, Davey Richards, but he was not able to attend. And we found out the day of that taping that he was not going to attend, and that, it brought on some other, publicity and some of my being very vocal about the subject, but that's in the past now. And 3G Eric Wayne, we thought, deserves this shot. He is a third-generation superstar, following the footsteps of his father and his grandfather, who competed in the Memphis territory back in the day. So he really is a third-generation superstar. He's got the skills. He has the talent. And I think this is going to be a great match dynamic between the two. Now, from a personal level, I'm excited to bring Colt Cabana in. I actually grew up in the town over from where Colt Cabana did, and My first independent match was seeing CM Punk versus Colt Cabana at the Cubby Bear North back in December of 2001. So from a sentimental standpoint, this is almost full circle for me. My first independent wrestling match I ever saw, and now bringing him into this main event show. This match means so much to me. And you can guarantee, as I sit ringside, you know, on commentary, it's going to be tough to remain impartial, but I'll certainly do my best. And for me, this is my match. This is the match that I am looking forward to seeing.
All right, and there are also a number of other really great AAPW stars that are going to be featured on this show. And really, to bring people in, I'm sure Generico, Pac, and Cabana are going to do that. But this is also an opportunity for a number of the local guys to get an opportunity to really excel in front of perhaps a new audience and a bigger audience. And Adam, is there any particular match that you are looking forward to that is involving some of the regulars that you wanted to discuss?
Well, I think the top attraction featuring our local stars will be the main event of the evening. AAPW heavyweight champion Edmund Livewire McGuire has held his belt all year, faced it against anybody who stepped into his path. But one man that's really been a thorn in Livewire's side has been the old school warrior Axe Allward. Axe is he's a big man, he's an old school fighter, he's a brawler, and he's proved to this year that he's willing to use whatever tactics it takes to get a shot at the belt and to try to become a champion himself. We've seen him assault Livewire in the locker room. They've brawled in the ring. They had a match that Livewire defeated Allward and defended his title, but Axe wasn't satisfied with that, and he's demanded another shot. Recently, on this past weekend's episode of Collision, as well as the episode that aired before that, we saw a stipulation come into play to where the two men could not touch one another or else they would lose their title or number one contendership, respectively. But we've seen the aggression continue as Axe Allward laid out Livewire's good friend Casey Jackson, nailing him with multiple pile drivers. That didn't sit well with Ed, who responded by delivering multiple super kicks to Gaylord Steven, Axe's loyal manager. The tension between those two is heating up. It's undeniable. They have to be separated in the locker room and everywhere. And that match, it's going to be a no disqualification match with the title on the line. And with Gaylord lurking at ringside, you have to give a slight edge to Axe, given the no DQ rules. The two-on-one dynamic will certainly come into play, but the fans will most definitely be behind Edmund Livewire McGuire. But no doubt that is going to be the match of the night for our local stars, and it's gonna open up people's eyes to just how good the two men, especially Livewire, really are.
And of course, Chris, there is another match that is involving one of the play-by-play men, as Kevin Huntsberger is going to be taking on the Masterpiece, Mike Masters. And Chris, since you are a fellow announcer, why don't you talk a little bit about this match?
Well, this is a match that I did not want to happen. I've told Kevin time and time again that he is not a wrestler. I've even said it multiple times on Collision. He does not belong in the ring. No announcer belongs in the ring unless they've had the proper training and, you know, well over a year of training. Kevin has not had that. Yes, he's done a special referee for other promotions. He's interviewed some legends in the business. He's been a valet, actually, for Velvet Sky at a recent TNA Base Brawl show here in Marion, but he has never been a wrestler. And back in April, we had an interview with him promoting the very first TV taping, and he got a little excited. He got involved, and then he hit Mike Masters with a chair when he interrupted an interview. He introduced the chair, but Kevin actually hit Masters with it. And he was smiling, having fun, but you know, Masters was on a losing streak. He went on a very long losing streak, which lasted all of last year, and he blamed Kevin Huntsberger for it. He blamed Kevin for his losing streak every time he would have the upper hand. He'd look over at Kevin Huntsberger, and everything would go south for him. And he addressed him on a recent episode of Collision, and he wanted to do something about it. And Kevin gets so frustrated. Jay Spade, one of our shining lightweights, came in to defend Kevin, and he came up with the idea that if Jay Spade and Mike Masters fight each other and Jay Spade wins, Mike Masters said he would leave Kevin alone. But if Jay Spade lost, Mike Masters would get Kevin Huntsberger at main event. And those two, and I told Kevin, do not accept this. This is not right. But he accepted anyway. Mike Masters somehow he used the ropes. The referee didn't see it to win. And so now we have Mike Masters versus Kevin Huntsberger. And this match is, you know, I think going to be the local draw for the fans here. Kevin Huntsberger is a staple of WSIL TV3. He's the morning news anchor. 10 years in the region, very well known, our local celebrity. And the fans really have been excited for this match, seeing Kevin step in the ring. I'm not excited. I'm worried about my broadcast partner. I think that he's going to get himself hurt. Unfortunately, though, there's nothing else I can do. So I'm going to have to say it. I'm giving the edge to Mike Masters, not just the edge. I'm giving him the whole landslide victory. I mean, he's a wrestler, a veteran of 12 years. Kevin Huntsberger is not.
And women's wrestling is going to be returning as well to AAPW next Saturday for the first time in quite a few years here. So, Adam, what are your thoughts about women's wrestling coming back to the promotion? Obviously, we know about companies like Shimmer and Chikara running Joshi Mania. So it seems like women's wrestling on the independent scene is not merely a side attraction, but it is becoming more and more of a factor. And seems like your company is going to be doing this as well.
Well, one of the things we try to do at AAPW and that we pride ourselves on is that we listen to our fans and we give our fans what they want to see. In November, we hosted FanFest, a very fan interactive show, mostly to make up for the fact that Davey Richards was pulled from that show in August. We knew that let a lot of fans down. We wanted to make it up to them, so we put together this show. At FanFest, we conducted a fan survey asking our fans, what do you want to see? And the number one response with an overwhelming majority of votes was the return of women's wrestling. So we went out of our way to find two of the best that the region has to offer. Both Harley Race trainees, Stacey O'Brien, the Boston Brawlers. She's a spunky little Irish girl that you can't count her out in a fight. Rebecca Reyes, meanwhile, is a little bit stiffer. She's a hard hitter. She's going to put Stacey to the test, and it's going to be an affair that people won't want to miss. But we just hope that our fans appreciate seeing women's wrestling return to AAPW. It's been at least 4 years since there's been a women's match, and we hope to bring it back as more of a staple. Like you said, on the indie scene, women's wrestling is heating up. Sarah Del Rey was probably the breakout star of 2011, in my opinion, with her performances in Chikara. Women can wrestle if they're given the opportunity. If people just look at TNA and WWE for what women's wrestling is all about, they're missing out. What you see there is more trash than anything. I tried watching Impact Wrestling on Thursday. I turned it on and saw Madison Rayne and Gail Kim jumping someone in a swimming pool. I couldn't even watch it long enough to tell who they were attacking. It was that awful. So if people want to see good quality women's wrestling, the independent scene is where it's at, and we're hoping to get in on that action at AAPW main event.
Now, obviously, this is a big show, and it is going to be the main event this next Saturday, January the 14th, and it is going to be at the Black Diamond Harley-Davidson in Marion, Illinois. Tickets are $10 for adults, $8 for kids 12 and under. And before I let you guys go here, Chris, I want to ask you what the impact is of actually being able to produce a weekly wrestling television show, because this is something that I think a lot of wrestling companies would like to have, but it's something that they may not necessarily get the opportunity to have. So why don't you talk? I mean, obviously, this show coming up next Saturday is very, very important, but also there is an opportunity on a weekly basis to have a TV show. So why don't you talk about what this gives your promotion, Chris?
Well, this has given us, I think this has given us a staple. I mean, we've become a staple on television in our region. It gives us an outlet to showcase some of the best wrestling, the best wrestlers in our region. And I think this makes us one of the best promotions in the region. You know, obviously, there's some argument to that, but I think television plays a major role. Now, you know, there's, of course, the argument between cable and network. That's an argument for another time, though, but being on television can give your promotion not just the boost it needs to elevate the talent, but also there's that income factor as well. I mean, when you have sponsors that are paying for airtime, I mean, you're able to increase the quality of your production, not just the quality of your wrestling, but, and that's something that I feel sometimes lacks in other promotions, is the quality of what it looks like. I mean, it's more than just hanging some garbage bags on a fishing wire to put up a backstage area. I mean, this is putting up, you know, drapes and lighting and making sure your ring looks good. That's something I feel sometimes lacks, is the quality of a production of a show. And that's something that we pride ourselves on, is being able to have a clean-looking, crisp show that airs on a network affiliate in that of WSIL-TV3. It's a lot of work. You know, again, as Adam said earlier, I mean, we don't have a lot of money, but the money that we do have goes into making sure the show looks good, the wrestlers are paid, and that means that you have less of a front office staff. So, you know, Adam is doing a lot more things with the marketing, promotion, the social media. I handle a lot of the television side, the Final Cut Pro editing, the graphics, the posters. So, I mean, there's a lot of work that's going into these shows. And, you know, sometimes there's not enough hours in the day, but you push through it. You find a way to make the time. That's the only way it's going to succeed, is by making the time. And, you know, I want to make sure I let Adam know I appreciate all that he's done. I mean, getting us this interview alone has just helped us leap some bounds. Being a part of Pro Wrestling Ponderings has helped jump our numbers on Facebook, on our website hits. So, I mean, if anybody else is listening out there, you want to become a part of Pro Wrestling Ponderings, and because they're going to help your promotion tenfold.
Thank you very much for those kind words. It really does mean a lot, the fact that we've been able to help AAW, to help AAPW, and to help some of the other promotions. You know, I think it really has. I like to think that we've made some difference in some of these companies, and I hope we can continue to do that.
Definitely.
So before we get out of here, Adam, since you are the man behind all of the social networks and all that good stuff, I'm going to give you an opportunity to kind of give us the go-home plug here for the show, as well as Twitter, Facebook, and where we can watch Collision.
All right. AAPW main event comes to you this Saturday, January 14th. Special bell time of 6:45 p.m. Doors open at 5:30 p.m. at Black Diamond Harley-Davidson Warehouse in Marion, Illinois. The show features the AAPW debuts of El Generico, Pac, and Colt Cabana. If that's not enough to get you out to see the show, you'll see a no-disqualification world heavyweight title match between Edmund Livewire McGuire and the old-school warrior Axe Allwirt. You'll get to see a spectacle as play-by-play announcer Kevin Huntsberger makes his in-ring debut with minimal training at best. And you'll get to see some of the best women's wrestlers in the Midwest. If you can't be with us at the show, you can still be part of the AAPW family. You can find us on Facebook under All American Pro Wrestling. You can find us on Twitter at AAP Wrestling. AAPWrestling.com is our website. You can find lots more information there. If you are in the Southeast Missouri, Southern Illinois, Western Kentucky area, you can watch AAPW Collision, our biweekly TV series, on WSIL-TV3. If outside of that area and you want to check out the product and see the people we've talked about, see what makes our promotion special, you can find it online at vimeopro.com/AAPW/collision. Or if that's too hard to remember, just go to AAPWrestling.com and you'll find all the links that you need. So again, we hope to see as many people out as possible this Saturday, January 14th. Looking forward to Jerome being at the show and having Pro Wrestling Ponderings in the house. It's quite an honor for us. We know there's a lot going on in the world of indie wrestling this weekend. And believe me when I say I wish I could be in Philadelphia myself, but since I can't be there, the best place to be is the Black Diamond Harley-Davidson Warehouse in Marion. So thank you to everybody who has supported us in 2011. 2012 is going to be an even bigger and better year, and we couldn't do it without each and every one of you.
All right. Well, I would like to thank you both very much for joining me on the show. I'm just going to say thank you to very much for participating on Pro Wrestling Ponderings and being part of our family. And thank you for doing the show here tonight. And I will see you both next Saturday.
Thanks, Jerome.
Yep, thanks for having us.
All right. My guest at this time is a former Ring of Honor co-founder, and he is the man behind Drangate USA and Evolve. But he's a little under the weather, but he is here tonight to help promote the last ever show at the former ECW Arena. Gabe Sapolsky is here, and Gabe, how are you doing tonight?
Pretty good. Thank you very much for having me on. So I like the site a lot. It's a great site, and I'm real happy to be on the show right now.
So let's get right into this and just kind of discuss your thoughts as we're rapidly approaching the last two shows, CZW and Evolve, are going to be presenting the last two shows. And as the day comes closer, I mean, how nostalgic are you feeling as it appears that the legacy of the arena is coming to an end?
I mean, I'm definitely feeling more and more of it every day. I think that just I basically just started writing stuff on my Facebook, which you can check out over at Facebook / Book at Gabe. And I've been kind of doing a memory every day or so from the ECW arena. And, like, you know, I've been going to that building since 1993 now, and I went to every – I missed one ECW arena show for ECW in the entire history and run of the company. And that was in January of 94, and there's like, a blizzard. And I was actually it was 94. And I was actually up in Boston because I was back home since it was Christmas break, and that's why I missed it, because normally I'm in Giles in Philadelphia to go to Temple University. And that was Terry Funk versus Shane Douglas, 45-minute time limit. And that was the last show that I missed there. So between all the ECW shows, and then I've been there for MLW. I did Hard Cam on that show when they did the tournament in that building, a whole bunch of CZW shows, a whole bunch of Chikara shows, other various like indie shows that have been in there, Dragon Gate USA obviously, we had our first show for Dragon Gate USA in that building, and then ROH I got to book in there too. So like, you know, between all that, you know, everywhere I look around in that building, there's some kind of a memory. So like, I didn't quite realize that until I started writing down all these memories, and I basically just started kind of like thinking about the different places in the building and how really I do have a story from like every single place in that building, and like how many people I met there and how many really important nights in my life were in that building, and memorable things and huge things in my life. So I know in life, you know, everything has to come to an end. You know, that's everything does. So, you know, that's how it is. But, you know, it's definitely been a time to reflect and look back at just, you know, what that building means. And, you know, I live 10 blocks from the building right now, so, you know, it's part of the neighborhood and all that. So, you know, it's definitely getting kind of emotional getting into it. And there's a lot of pressure, too, at the same time, because, you know, we pretty much fell into having the last show there. So, like, it is going to be the last wrestling show, like, in those walls as they are right now, because the whole place, from the sounds of it, is just going to get gutted. I mean, the bathrooms aren't going to be there anymore. The Eagles Nest area where the hard camera isn't going to be there anymore. That balcony above the entrance isn't going to be there. They're going to knock down the back wall. I mean, it's the way the building looks now, it's never going to resemble this again. And granted, the building's been through a lot of changes through the years. But, you know, now to fall into that and have the last show in that building with everything that's taken place there, you know, you definitely don't want to go out with a dud. You want to go out with something really, really special that fits that legacy. And that's what we're going to try to do on January the 14th for the Evolve show. I feel we got a really solid lineup, a lot of hungry guys, a lot of guys who have really arrived as, like, today's new stars, a lot of guys that will be tomorrow's stars. And we got them all, and they all realize the importance of this show, and they're going to do their best to really try to tear the house down and give everyone that lasting special memory. And then for the final segment of the building, we do have some names planned that we're going to bring from the building's past. And we're gonna have a good segment. It might get a little wild, but we're gonna have a real good segment to close that building out properly with the people, with at least some of the people. Well, you're never gonna get all the people that deserve to be there, but a few of the people that really belong there because of their history and legacy in the building.
So I want to ask, what is it about Johnny Gargano and Ricochet that makes them fitting people to kind of end the legacy? Because although you're gonna have the tribute, the last match, it's probably going to be Gargano and Ricochet for the Open, the Freedom Gate title. So what makes these two stand out as being the guys?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely going to be the last official match in that building. And there will be some action, and things will get pretty chaotic with that final segment, because you can't have the final segment in the ECW arena without things getting out of hand and it being kind of wild. So there will be some action in that one. But the last really straightforward official wrestling match will be that Johnny Gargano versus Ricochet match for the Open the Freedom Gate title. And to me, like, they really exemplify what the arena was all about. And what the arena was about was a place where new talent could make their reputations and in some cases be discovered. And it's a place where that new talent became today's stars, and that's what I feel Johnny Gargano and Ricochet are. They're today's new stars, and that's what that building has already always made, you know? I mean, you look back from when Rey Mysterio and Psychosis both made their debuts, to Super Crazy and Tajiri making their debuts, to Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit making their debuts, to Sandman and Tommy Dreamer and Taz all becoming homegrown stars, to Sabu being there, and like then you go into CZW and Chikara, and the list just grows and grows and grows with guys that have become stars and then made their names in that building. And Johnny Gargano and Ricochet are two of the best going right now, and they're getting recognized and they're getting exposure, but they aren't getting the recognition they deserve. So they're going to have the platform in that building. And they're going to try to do what all those other guys I mentioned and so many in CCW and Chikara have done, where they take that stage and prove to everybody that they are today's new stars. And I feel that they're two of the best going today. So that's what really qualifies them to be there. And they've earned it. You know, Ricochet, he's gone to Japan. And I think the only time an American ever won a title over there was Evan Bourne. And now he's after touring Dragon Gate for a couple of years. And Ricochet has won three titles over there in his first year. And he's... in addition to the Tag Team Championship in Dragon Gate USA. You know, so he's become a star. He's the main event at a pay-per-view over there already. So he's getting that recognition in Japan right now. And Johnny Gargano, I mean, there's a guy that a great story, just starting in the very first bonus match in Dragon Gate USA and working his way all the way up to the Open the Freedom Gate title, and there's a reason for that, and that's the kind of person he is, and he's going to be a star. You know, he has those qualities that so many in the past have had that deserve belts. You know, that's part of having a belt, is you got to be able to carry that company, and a lot of that is character, and Johnny Gargano has that, in addition to he gets it in the ring. So those are two great guys to put in that spot to be the last of the breakout stars to come out of that building.
Now, I'm very curious. I've had both these guys on the show, and they seem to be pretty self-aware. Do you get the sense that they feel the gravity of this situation wrestling in the last match at the arena?
Yeah, they definitely do. I know they're both very much looking forward to this match. I rarely talk matches with the guys like this far in advance, but I've been talking to both of them, and they're both ready to go. And they're both super excited, and they realize the importance of this match and you know what's on them to be the last official match in this building. So, you know, I mean, the last thing you want to do is be remembered as going out as a dud. You know, you want to go out as a superstar, and that's fitting for that legacy of the building, and that's what Gargano and Ricochet are going out there to do, and they know it.
Now, there are a number of other strong matches, I feel, that are on this card, but is there anything specific that sticks out to you that you really wanted to talk about?
I think that we got a lot of fresh original matches on this card. AR Fox versus Jigsaw is a match I'm really looking forward to, and I'm really happy to have Jigsaw back. You know, he's a big part of Dragon Gate USA when we started it, and then in the last year we just had a problem with a lot of our dates falling on dates that he wasn't available. So we the tag team with him and Quack broke up for us too. So like, you know, I'm really glad to have him back, and we're going to start him out as a singles. And AR Fox is a guy who I see he's going to be the breakout guy in 2012. I mean, he's already there, and he's already showed it in 2011, but 2012 is really going to be his year. So that's a really great match I'm really looking forward to. Chuck Taylor and Rick Swann against Super Smash Brothers. I think that'll be like a really, really cool, a lot of action tag team match. Bobby Fish versus Sammy Callahan. I'm really happy to have that on this one. We did a kind of, it was more of a segment than a match at Evolve 8 with them, with the whole story that Bobby Fish had just wrestled in the first round of the tournament, and Sammy Callahan had more time to rest, and then they met in the second round, and Callahan won a pretty quick match. So now we got the rematch for that, so that should be a good match. And I think that we're really strong from top to bottom. Kyle Matthews, who I've been trying to get on shows for a year, and we just haven't had the spot. And now we finally do, and he's coming in to wrestle John Davis. And Uha Nation, who's just back from Dragon Gate in Japan, and the Dragon Gate office told me that he killed it over there and was got over awesome, and they were super happy with him. He did a tremendous job. So we got him coming back, and he's wrestling Pinky Sanchez, so that should be a really entertaining match. And, you know, Nation is a guy with a lot of buzz, and Sanchez is just a fun guy to watch. So I'm really looking forward to that one. So we got a lot of good stuff on this show. I think from the opening bell to the end of the main event, it's really going to be a strong card. And I know that we have to have like a really tight, really just blowaway show too, because I know that we are going to have a good deal of new people watching the show who aren't really coming for Evolve. They're coming because it is the final show at the arena, and they're coming maybe to see some of the ECW guys we got coming in the last segment, and we do have some big ECW names scheduled for it. And, you know, they're coming for that. So, like, this is our opportunity to win them over and impress them. And that means we got to have a really tight, really, really awesome show. And I think we're going to deliver that. Like, we're all really super pumped for it. And we know how big this opportunity is for us.
Now, if you ask a lot of people on this website, there is a mixed reaction to one Sami Callihan. So I want to ask you, Gabe, what is it about Sami Callihan that makes you interested as a fan, and what do you think he brings to the table? I want you to sell me on Sami Callihan.
I mean, first, for a little behind the scenes on him before I saw you on the in-ring, is I didn't like Sami Callihan at all when I first saw him. He tried out when I was still at ROH, and, you know, he was getting a little bit of a buzz back then, and I didn't see anything. And I think he might have showed up to do another pre-show match for us, and I think it was the same result. He might have done a main show match for us, but I didn't see much in the guy at all. And then we had a spot open, and he was local and stuff, so we started using him in Dragon Gate and Evolve. And you know, if you look at where he was on the show, you know, he wasn't really put in a push position. You know, he's kind of down on the show. Let's just see what he's got. And because, again, you know, I was not sold on this guy by any means. And then he did good with his opportunity. And then I kind of saw this creative side that he has too, and this motivation that he has. And so then he got a little bit of a bigger opportunity, and he did good with that. Then he got a little bit of a bigger opportunity, and he did good with that. And the whole time, he kept working hard to get in better shape, to improve himself. And he just had that drive that you look for in somebody. And the fact that I really respect, too, is, you know, he was a fat dude. I'm a fat dude, and it's really hard to lose weight, and he's lost that weight and gotten into excellent shape. So, I mean, that's a sign of a guy that wants it, and that's the kind of guy you want in your locker room and on your roster. So right there, he kind of won me over. In the ring, I like that he's very unique. You know, he's got his own style, and, you know, he doesn't wrestle like anybody else. And I think that the Finley match that he had, the match against Biff Finley at Evolve 9, I think that was really the turning point for him. If you watch that match and you watch his selling and you watch his fire and you watch his comebacks, and then you watch how he goes after Finley in a smart way, that shows how good of a worker he is now. You know, he's not just a guy that goes in there and does spots. He's a guy with a unique style who knows how to put it all together, and he draws me into his matches, and I want to see more of his matches. So hopefully that sold some people out there. But again, you know, everything's a matter of opinion, and, like, you know, great art people either love or hate, you know, and Sammy's an artist, so there's people that just aren't going to be connected to him, and that's cool. You know, everybody has their own opinion, and everybody's in their different planes. But, you know, if you like Sami, you're gonna love us. And if you don't like him, you know, he's one segment of show, maybe an interview or something. So, you know, give him a shot, and maybe he will grow on you with time.
After his match with Finley and Naruki Doi, and he had a 5-way eliminator at the recent AEW show, I'll give him another shot this year. That is my resolution, is to give him another chance.
Right, and, like, you know, to me, like, a cool part of everything is, like, seeing a guy that you're not that into and watching him improve. Like, to me, that's something that I really respect. And then when, like, he grows on you, like, he's really won you over at that point, you know? Like, he's earned it from you. Like, to me, then that's kind of like you have, like, a deeper level of appreciation and fandom for somebody in that way. So that's, you know, that's a cool thing, too. So, you know, keep giving him a shot, and you're going to watch him improve. And I think eventually you will be won over because he's very talented.
So I do want to ask you a little bit about what's going on at the end of the month as well. Dragon Gate USA, you're going to be going to Los Angeles for the first time, Dragon Gate USA. You're also going to be in Miami as well. And all of this is part of the Wrestle Reunion little deal there, as well as Evolve. So I do want to ask, how did this relationship with Wrestle Reunion start? Because it seems like you're going to be pretty active with them in the next few months.
Yeah, I mean, High Spots is a great company, and you know, they're behind the Wrestle Reunion, and they do a lot for independent wrestling. I don't think anybody really has any idea how much they do for independent wrestling and how much they help, and I mean financially too. You know, they're very, very supportive, and they're very important to the independent wrestling scene. You know, that's why the whole Ric Flair lawsuit with them, like, just really pissed me off towards Flair. because, you know, this is a company that, that helps out a lot of other companies, like independent companies, and makes a difference for them and, you know, for them to be put in that situation by this guy, you know, who's gone through all that money was just ridiculous. But that's another subject, I guess. But, so, you know, Hyflux is a great company. We've had a great relationship with them, and it seemed like, you know, the next natural step in it was being a part of these wrestle reunion conventions. It made sense for them because they get to bring in a unique product, and it makes sense for us because we're going to go to a great venue where there's going to be all these legends and this whole convention and everything, and that could open up new fans to us. So it's what a partnership should be. It's a win-win for each side. So I can't wait to get out to L.A. January 27th. We got the Dragon Gate show, and then we have the Evolve show in Toronto on April 13th. And in between that, of course, the Miami double shot, March 30th and March 31st. And you can go to dgusa.tv. for info on all that, and WrestleReunion.com for info on the conventions. And they really have, like, tremendous guest list, too, for all these conventions. Like, I've never seen Kevin Von Erich before, you know, so I'm looking forward to going out to L.A. and seeing him. Like, that's going to be really cool.
So, obviously, one of the big matches is going to be Shima and Ricochet versus Mochizuki. And it is Susumu Yokosuka, but according to a stipulation from Dragon Gate, we have to call him Jimmy Susumu. So
I've been told by the office to refer to him as Jimmy Susumu from now on.
Okay, that's fine. That's part of the stipulation. So all stipulations are adhered to in Drag 8, which is a good thing. So what are your thoughts on being able to have this match on DGUSA? I would assume this is the main event for the January show?
Yeah, that'll definitely be the main event. You can't expect anything to follow a match like that. And Shima and Ricochet, I'll put them up against any tag team in the world right now. I really do believe that they're the best tag team in the world. And I think once you watch them, you'll be hard-pressed to disagree. I actually just watched the match where they won the titles on our Way of the Ronin show in Milwaukee. And I finally got the DVD proof, so that's only a couple weeks away. So I was watching last night, and that main event with Shima and Ricochet against Pac and Masato Yoshino was unbelievable. The finishing stretch with all the falsies was it doesn't get any better than that. And so Shima and Ricochet are completely awesome. And Mochizuki is just, like, a badass dude. Like, he's the last guy in the locker room that you want to fight. And he and Shima have that incredible chemistry with each other. And then good old Jimmy there is also another awesome guy to team with Mochizuki. I mean, that's really a badass tag team right there. So, you know, that's as good as it gets, in my opinion, when you have that kind of tag team wrestling. It's just, you know, a thrill to be able to book and even better to be able to watch it.
Now, I'm not sure if you've even thought ahead to Miami at all at this point, but what are you kind of looking forward to book for the Miami shows?
I mean, those are very important shows as well. You've got the whole WrestleMania crowd in there, and it's another chance to win over some new fans because you usually get a lot of first-timers at that show. And at the very least, you have people coming to your show from all over the world. So if you go in there and have a killer show, they go back to whatever section of the world they were in, and they start spreading the word about you. So it's a huge weekend. We're going to have, you know, all the Japanese stars in there. We're still working out all the details. We haven't announced anything yet. We're going to have our regular crew down there. You know, we're working on a couple of special attractions, too. So I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it might. So those are huge shows, and we always look forward to the WrestleMania shows. It's a fun weekend. And, you know, going down to Miami is going to be awesome, too. So we're also working on a third show in Florida. So hopefully we'll be able to pull that off soon. So, you know, you can keep checking DGUSA.tv for all the info on that.
Now, I do want to ask, with WWNLive.com starting last year, and obviously internet pay-per-view seems to be the wave of the future and is pretty much happening now for a lot of companies, coming into this year, do you have any particular goals that you have in mind for the website specifically?
Yeah, I mean, you always just want to, like, for WWNLive.com, we're always looking for new things to broadcast. And, of course, the goal is to be able to put every single one of our shows on internet pay-per-view. And, you know, we're off to a good start because for the first time, our last triple shot in November, we were able to put all three shows on iPay-per-view, live iPay-per-view for the first time. We now have every show from 2011 for both Dragon Gate USA and Evolve are available on iPay-per-view on demand at WWNLive.com. So, you know, you can go watch those anytime you want, and you can watch as many times as you want. You know, you have the rights for it once you buy it. That's the goal. So we want to continue that this year, which we're off to a good start, because the January 14th Evolve show, the Tribute to the Arena, is available on WWNLive.com right now and for pre-order. And the January 27th show in L.A. will also be on WWNLive.com on live iPay-per-view. So, you know, we just want to continue that trend. We also want more people to take advantage of our affiliate program. So we feel that's a really cool thing. There's no risk in it. All you do is you sign up, you get your own link, and then you just promote that link on your social media sites. You can tweet it out, put it on your Facebook. If you got a website or a blog, you can put on that. Basically, like any way you have online to do anything, you can promote your link. And anyone who buys the iPay-per-view through your link, you get a 20% commission on, and that lasts forever. And, you know, so we hope that grows, and we hope more people will take advantage of that. You know, again, there's no risk in it. So, you know, it's a great way to make a little extra money and help spread the word. And again, it's, you know, it's a good partnership. It helps everybody. So, you know, we're looking for that to expand and basically just continue to have a really good website and have it be a great experience to go on it and a great experience to watch. And all that stuff's always going to improve in the future. So, you know, that's pretty much the goals.
And as far as kind of looking at other avenues for getting your shows out there, what are you looking at anything specific like something like an iTunes or being able to do digital downloads or something like that? Or are you really just focused on WWNLive.com right now?
No, you can never just be focused on something and not look ahead. You know, you always have to look ahead. So we are looking into other things. I know the Roku, you know, people always ask about. We're looking into that. iTunes is tough because I haven't looked into it recently, but the last time I did was a couple of years ago, and they just take like a huge cut of this stuff. So it's hard to even make any money off of it. But, you know, there's a lot of other things out there that we're aware of, and we're always open to new opportunities and keeping our eyes on them. You know, it's just, you know, I mean, it's a small operation, and you can only do so much every day. So, you know, that's, we'll get to it, and then we're definitely keeping our eyes on it.
All right, so as we wrap things up here, you've plugged a lot of stuff already, but you can go ahead and plug away anything else that you would like to, the upcoming shows, of course, as well as your websites. And thank you very much for doing this, and we will definitely do this again some point in the near future. It's always good to have you on the show, even though you've never been on before, but I think it'll be good to make this a regular thing.
Yeah, no, I'd love to do it anytime. You know, I'm always around. And, you know, I do think I got all the plugs in. I mean, keep an eye on DTUSA.tv for our weekly specials. We have the cashback special now. And we just added PWG DVD, so we just started selling those too. So you can get those along with your Durango USA and Evolve stuff and various other things that we have on the site. So, you know, again, that's DGUSA.tv. The iPay-per-view site is WWNLive.com, and right now all 2011 events are on there, even the ones that aren't out on DVD yet. And the big one, January 14th, the final show at the arena, as we know it, in Philadelphia. We're going to have a really special show. It's going to be a really special night. If you ever attended a show in that building, I highly recommend you show up for this one. And you can go to DGUSA.tv for all the tickets and info on that. And I do want to stress that tickets for general admission are $20 in advance, but they will be $25 the night of the show at the door if you wait until then to get them. So I would suggest grabbing them now. And we also got a few second row ringsides left and some VIP balconies. So DGUSA.tv, and again, you know, I thank you for having me on, and I'd be thrilled to come on anytime.
Yeah, we used to have Rob Naylor in this position, but Rob is unavailable, so.
Yeah, well, you got big shoes to fill there, so good luck.
All right, thank you very much for joining me despite being under the weather, and good luck with the show next week. I will be watching it as soon as possible, and I know we'll be reviewing it here on the site. So thanks a lot.
Great, thank you.
Have a good night. And the main event here on this first edition of the interview show for 2012 is, of course, the Open the Freedom Gate champion. He is a Pro Wrestling Ponderings favorite. Johnny Gargano is here. Johnny, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well. I believe you very sincerely when you call me the Pro Wrestling Ponderings favorite, because I've done at least 18 different podcasts with you guys, I think.
Roughly speaking, but who's really keeping count? Because the most important thing is that you are obviously one of the most improved wrestlers of the year. You have the Open the Freedom Gate title, and you are going to be closing the arena down. And I would assume that is something that is weighing heavy on your mind right now. The fact that you are main eventing against Ricochet, it is your first Open the Freedom Gate title defense, and like I said earlier, you're shutting the arena down.
It's really mind-blowing when you really think about it, and I thought about it a bunch, trust me. Like, it's really mind-blowing that me and Ricochet, as it stands right now, are going to be the last match in the history of the ECW arena. Like, I don't know if, like, like Sandman and Sabu and all those guys years ago were like, man, when this building shuts down, these two young whippersnappers are going to kill themselves, for God's sake. Like, it's completely mind-blowing. Like, I read the EGUSA, like, email alert dealio that was sent out this week. And, like, I like how the headline was, like, the pressure is on. I'm like, okay, really? Like, it's not enough pressure already. Now you're putting it out there. The pressure is on. And it is. I mean, the magnitude of the situation, I don't think, has hit me yet. Like, I know what it means, but I don't think the whole... that's how it always works with me. Like, how big things really are never really hit me until they happen and they're long gone. I'm like, wow, that was actually really big. But, yeah, I know what people are expecting, and I can guarantee you they're going to get what they're expecting that night.
So what is it when you first heard about this, the potential of the ECW arena shutting down, what was kind of your immediate reaction as someone who has performed in the building pretty frequently over the last 2.5 years?
It's a huge loss, man. I mean, when you think about independent professional wrestling, the ECW arena, the Alhambra, whatever it's called now, I think it's the Asylum now, I think, that building is, I mean, I think everyone knows that building, whether you're in Japan or England or Australia or anywhere, that is one of the most famous independent wrestling venues, I think. And here, shutting down is really a loss for independent professional wrestling. And just like I said earlier, to be able to be the last match in that building is completely just awe-inspiring for me. And, you know, it's, I don't know, it's a loss, but it's a huge honor. A huge honor.
Now, I want to ask you a question. Were you ever able to attend at the ECW arena as a fan, or was the first time you walked in when you had your first match there?
The first time I walked there was the first Dragon Gate USA show. So that was my very first time in the arena. And I think it's very appropriate that it will be where I am defending the Open Skin Gate title for the very first and potentially last time in that building. Because that was the same, that was the place, the DGUSA show, the first DGUSA show was the first time I wrestled in the arena. I was very, very excited for it. And that was where I sat up in the balcony and I watched the whole show and I felt like, man, like, these guys are so good. Like, I hope one day I can actually be, like, as good as these guys. And one day, hopefully, maybe I can be given a chance to, like, be in a main event spot. And now to be in that spot and close out the show, it's really very appropriate, I think.
And the irony is that there could be a lot of former ECW stars in the balcony watching your match, as it will be the last match, and also Joey Styles is going to be there potentially watching you. So, not to put any more pressure on you, but there's that.
I already requested that Joey Styles be commentary on my match. I don't think that's going to happen. It could. I made a request that Joey Styles and I think Jimmy Bauer do commentary on my match together, but I don't think that's going to happen.
That would be a pretty fantastic way to go, though.
Wouldn't it be? I've always said that. Jimmy Bauer is going to do commentary on one of my matches eventually.
This definitely needs to happen.
Whenever I leave, I don't know when I'm going to leave, if I get tragically injured and then I have the last match or whatever happens with me. And whenever I have my last Dragon Gate USA / Evolve / whatever match, that is one of my requirements, that Jimmy Bauer does commentary on it.
Do you just want him to yell history or dangerous? Is that all it is?
Yeah, I want dangerous. I mean, I gotta get at least one. Come on, like something really not so dangerous, like an arm drag or something. That'd be awesome. That'd make my life.
All right, so I do want to talk about the match where you won the Open the Freedom Gate title. You defeated Yamato just about 3 months ago, and looking back on it now, obviously, you know, Yamato's one of the best in the world, and to receive the opportunity that you did, and really it culminated a run where you got to wrestle guys like Akira Tozawa, Naruki Doi, Yoshino in a tag, Shima in a tag, and then, you know, you beat Yamato. So what was those last couple months in Dragon Gate USA where you were wrestling all of the top Japanese talent, then it culminated with the Open the Freedom Gate title? What was that like?
It did a lot for my confidence. Honestly, I knew the opportunities I was being given to be in the ring with guys like that, and that really makes you up your game. When I saw the match, and I'll start here because it's from the Chicago show, that weekend was very important. The whole whole summer on was very important, like the whole Austin Aries match and the match in New York then, and that was all very important then because, like, I separated my shoulder that weekend, the weekend prior at an AIW show, and I knew I had Deez USA, I think, the weekend after that, or maybe a week and a half later, and I knew how big the shows were. I knew I was starting to build momentum, and never crossed my mind to even cancel on the shows, never crossed my mind to even not give 110%, because I knew that, like, the momentum was building, like, I had something going there, something was going on, so I wrestled those shows, and those were big, and that got good reviews, and I matched Austin Aries, got good reviews, and I matched with everything else people seemed to enjoy, and that made me happy. The New York crowd was really awesome. They always are at BB Kings. And that led to the Midwest shows, when, I'll start with the Akira Tozawa match. And my goal with the Akira Tozawa match was to steal the show. I always want to go out there, and I always want to steal the show any way possible, because it physically pains me. It really does when I don't steal the show. That's how, like, ingrained in me it is. Like, when someone has a better match than me, I'm like, man, like, come on. Everything sucks. Like, I got to do better now. I was very, very proud of the match me and Tozawa put on. I really enjoyed it, and I don't like any of my matches, so for me to say that I enjoyed it means something, so I was really happy with that match, and I got a sprained neck during that match, so that sucked. And then the next day, I had to wrestle Naruki Doi, and the crowd in Milwaukee was absolutely amazing. They were, wow, that was probably one of the best wrestling crowds I've ever wrestled in front of, and they made that match super-duper special, because Naruki Doi was always a guy I wanted to wrestle. He was one of the main guys that I looked up to on the Dragon Gate roster, because I really appreciate his style, and I appreciate how technically sound he is. So to be in the ring with him was huge, too, and people liked that match. And that led to the big match with Yamato, and that was still mind-blowing. I don't think, again, like, we're here, like, 3 months later, and I don't think the magnitude of what happened that night has still hit me yet. I think it hit me a little bit, like, maybe, like, a week and a half later when I was looking at the belt, and I was like, wow, I actually accomplished something that I really, really wanted. Like, yeah, man, it's so mind-blowing. Like, I'm glad. I've been blessed. I've been given a lot of opportunities. I've been blessed that people actually enjoy watching me wrestle and make me happy. So.
And why don't you talk a little bit about the opportunity? You and Ricochet have something in common. Neither one of you like to watch your own matches. I've noticed that in my interview with Ricochet, he also talked about this. So, you know, what is it like to be wrestling a guy who has also kind of gone through the same improvements, has kind of gone through the same system, and has kind of gone through the same pattern? And obviously Ricochet, his success has come more in Japan and in tag teams. But why don't you talk a little bit more specifically, obviously the arena shutting down aside, talk a little bit about wrestling Ricochet specifically.
Ricochet is someone who, I'm trying to think of the proper way to put this, he's a guy who has always had the athletic gifts that I wish I had. He is the best pure athlete I've ever seen in a wrestling ring, bar none. He's got so much athleticism, and everything he does just seems like he does it so easily. And it always annoys me, because I'm like, man, I wish I could do half of the things that he does. But really, he's worked so hard, and he's improved so much. And like I brought up in that video you can watch on YouTube, look at us from Evolve 3. And you look at us now, it's two completely different people. Like, I don't even want to look at that footage anymore, because it's completely mind-blowing. And that's really, it was like 2 years ago, it's not that long ago, but it's, you know, it shows you how fast we really improved. And to be given the opportunity to main event was really, really cool. I know that he's like me, and he likes to bring it every single night, no matter what's going on. He likes to go out there, and he likes to show off, and he likes to steal the show, and he likes to do things that other people can't do. And that's really exciting for me, to be in the ring with an opponent like that, because that brings out so much potential. We bring out the best in each other when each person wants to have that match, and each person wants to bring out the best in one another. I think we always get the best possible match out of it.
So, obviously, this match with Ricochet is very, very important, but what are your thoughts on the rest of the Evolve card? Obviously, this entire card is going to be something very special because it's the last card, and there's so many other great matches that are going to be a part of it. So, as a fan, what are you looking forward to watching if you get the chance?
I think everyone's going to say Sammy and Bobby Fish. That's going to be very hard-hitting and very very impressive. I think AR Fox and Jigsaw could be really good as well. And, of course, Chuck Taylor and Rich Swann, I think, will take on the Super Smash Brothers. So that should be very interesting. I was talking to Gabe about this just recently. This card is very, very, very important for all of us. Given the nature that this is the last show in the arena, given the nature that it's got that much hype around it, there's going to be a lot of new eyes on the product. A lot of new eyes that maybe haven't given Evolve a chance before, haven't given Dragon Gate USA a chance before. So now they're seeing, okay, this is the last show in the arena. We're going to see what this place is all about. And it's our time to show them, look, this is what we're bringing to the table. We're bringing the best athletes in the world right now, the best wrestling in the world right now. I believe, people complain about how wrestling is not that good and they watch Raw or they watch something like that. They're like, oh, man, I wish wrestling could be better. Well, for my money, I think what you're going to see this Saturday is some of the best wrestling in the world, bar none. Trust me. As a fan, watching Dragon Gate USA shows, watching Evolve shows, they always blow my mind. And I've been and I've seen every single one of them, and I always see something new every single time I go there. And as a fan, as a wrestling fan, which I am, I'm a huge wrestling fan, it's really cool to wrestle for a product like that. It really inspires me, and it makes me work harder because I know we're doing something good. And if we just get the people start backing us, if everything starts going and they start supporting independent wrestling a little bit more, we can make something really cool out of this. And we can make wrestling good again.
You should definitely use that spiel on the PW Insider and Wrestling Observer interviews later this week.
I will.
I feel like you were practicing with that. Like, this is kind of your warm-up, and you're going to use that, and that it's going to be really ready to go by the later interviews.
See, these are, my real feelings. So I actually, I still have, preset. I have preset stories I use in some podcasts, and I get asked. But, when it comes to this type of stuff, this is the type of stuff I really feel. So, I can just go off on a tangent for, however long and just talk about how, wrestling is good and all that type of stuff because I really believe it. And I think when you believe something and you have the platform to express it, I think you can go out there and you can express it. And I'm sure people are going to be sick of me by the end of the week because I'm doing so much stuff. But
Well, until everybody knows who the hell you are, I think you should just keep going. Just keep going with it.
There you go. That's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to keep going off on a tangent.
So let's talk about some more good wrestling, and that would be Chikara. I want to talk about your run as the one half of the Campeonatos de Parejas, the tag team title that you can't even pronounce. What was your experience like wrestling at Joshi Mania and wrestling against the Colony, ironically enough, in the arena?
We have a long-standing history with the Colony. I've come to found it. That lasts even before I joined Fist. Colony and Fist is kind of the ongoing thing in Chikara. And I think both teams, they represent, Colony represents all the good and all the nice stuff about Chikara. And we kind of represent the evil and the dastardly stuff about Chikara. But, I think we always bring out the best in one another. I brought up that earlier when you wrestle someone who, or wrestle a team, that you can bring out the best one another. I think that's what Colony and Fist always do. We proved that against Rios. We proved that all however many times we wrestled them. And I think me and Chuck are really starting to hit our groove with the team. I thought for a while that me and him were a very, very good tag team, a very, very solid tag team. And this is even before we started teaming up. I felt we could be something really special. Because I felt our characters and our styles and our personalities meshed really well. And luckily, I've been attached to his hip for years now, it seems. I think we're going to continue to grow. It's going to continue to get even better from now on.
Is it tough for you to kind of go from wrestling a certain style in DGUSA and portraying your character in that way and then going to Chikara and almost being, the complete opposite in many ways?
A little bit. It kind of is. But I try to consider myself a multifaceted performer. I try to do everything that I can possibly do or whatever's asked of me. But it's weird because a lot of people see me watch me in Chikara and they're like, oh, Johnny's okay. And they see me in Dragon Gate USA and they're like, oh my God, Johnny's amazing. Well, in Chikara, I'm not supposed to be amazing. I'm not supposed to be, oh my God, I love Johnny Gargano. That's not who I am in Chikara. That's who I am in Dragon Gate USA. That's who I am in Evolve. I think you get different versions of me in every promotion I wrestle in. But I think that's a good thing about wrestling is you can kind of pick whichever one you like, I guess. But yeah.
Your body probably hurts significantly less after a Chikara show than a Dragon Gate USA show.
Yeah, a little bit. I always say that Dragon Gate USA weekends take years off my life. I firmly believe that. And I'm sure this match this Saturday will take at least 3 years off my life. So if that isn't a pitch enough for you to buy it, I mean, I don't know what I can say now. I mean, you're going to watch 3 years to get taken off my life this Saturday at Evolve 10. So
I want to ask you about this because unfortunately, I think your Dragon Gate USA contracts are going to kind of preclude you from answering the Proving Ground Challenge from the Briscoes. But on January 20th, they're going to be wrestling a Chikara tag team. And while I don't think it's going to be you guys, what would an opportunity to wrestle the Briscoes in Ring of Honor, what would something like that do for you? Obviously, everything in DGUSA and Chikara is great, but you know, wrestling the Briscoes in Ring of Honor would obviously be something that you would have to look forward to, correct?
Wrestling a tag team talent of the Briscoes is very enticing because how good they are and how good they've been for a while. I think it could be quite the challenge for me and Chuck. I mean, right now though, I'm happy with what I'm doing. I think I've gotten to the point where I've reached and accomplished all of my goals. As weird as that sounds, being 24 years old and saying that, when I set out, to become a professional wrestler or whatever, I always wanted to go to Japan, and I've gotten the opportunity to do that, and I always wanted to be a world champion on the Indies. That has always been what I wanted to do. I always wanted to be given the ball. I always wanted to be the guy that you look to when, okay, this match needs to be really good. You need to carry the company. You need to be the face of the franchise. Here you go. I always wanted to be that guy. That's always been my goal. And now I think that's where we're at now with Dragon Gate USA and Evolve. I'm being given the ball, and that's something I've always wanted because I've looked at guys like Bryan Danielson. I've looked at guys like CM Punk, and that has always been my plan. That's always been my game plan, to look at those guys. They did everything they possibly could on the Indies. They were the top stars on the Indies, and they went on, and they were ready to be top stars in WWE and top stars wherever heck they went. And that's always been my plan, and that still is my plan. And right now, I think we're going through the final goal that I really have, as weird as that sounds, and that's being the face of the company. And I'm looking forward to carrying the ball and running as hard as I can and getting as many people to see Dragon Gate USA and Evolve as physically possible.
Well, considering Punk and Danielson are now world champions in WWE, I guess that is those are probably the two guys that you should be looking up to right now.
They are. And like I was talking, and like David told me, like, oh man, like it took today like 30 to go to WWE. I'm like, man, I'm 24. Six more years, like, oh.
You're not going to have any years to give up by that point if DGUSA keeps running.
I'm going to be done by then.
So I want to ask you, obviously you're also going to get the opportunity to wrestle in Los Angeles at the end of the month, defending the Open the Freedom Gate title. And have you ever been to the West Coast, and are you looking forward to that opportunity as well?
I've never been there. I have never been there. I'm very, very excited. I'm excited for the whole Wrestle Reunion thing. I think Vader's going to be there. So I'm excited for that. I'm very excited because I like going new places and I like experiencing new things. And that is, Los Angeles is a place I've always wanted to go. And I just got my flight yesterday. I was sent my flight. I'm only going to be there for like 12 hours, but I'll make the most of those 12 hours.
That's going to be pretty intense. 12 hours in Los Angeles and then coming all the way back. That's going to be crazy.
Yeah, like my flight is like, I leave, I fly out of Cleveland, and I, at like, oh man, it was like 6 a.m. or something like that, and I arrive in L.A. at like 11:40 a.m. because there's like a time change, but it's like an eight-hour whole travel time thing. Then I fly out of L.A. at 1:40 a.m., so it's like, oh, and then I get back in Cleveland the next day at around noon, so it's
So I'm like, ooh.
Oh, boy. Johnny Gargano's not going to get a lot of sleep there.
Nope. That is the life of a professional wrestler. If you people want to know the glamorous life of a professional wrestler, saying, like, oh, my God, Johnny Gargano, you get to go to L.A. and wrestle. I'm like, oh, my God, that's so cool. Oh, my God. Yeah, so that is my life. Like, they asked me when I was going home, if I was flying in on Friday or, yeah, whatever the date they were. And I was like, if you want to keep me for an extra day, take me to Disney World. Like, we can do it. Then I got to my flight, and no, I'm not going to Disney World.
Oh, brother. Well, at least you're going to get the opportunity to be there for 12 hours.
That's true. I'll enjoy those 12 hours, all the Los Angeles LA and people out there that are calling me the show. I know the match. I'm not allowed to say the match yet. I know it. I'm not going to tell you it. I think you'll find out soon. That's a little teaser for you. It's going to be mind-blowing when you find it out. But I'm not going to say anything more about that.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Now we got something to look forward to. We'll see what happens for January the 27th. I believe it's the 27th, correct?
Yeah, I think so. Yes, it is.
All right. Well, I want to ask one more question just about a match that probably not a lot of people have seen. And this was a match that you had in AEW back at the Windy City Classic with Silas Young, Sami Callihan, Jay Miller, and Dan Lawrence. And this match, I had to have had the chance to watch this match now twice. And I thought it was kind of an underrated classic. And I think you guys worked really hard and you guys really brought it. And I was just wondering kind of what your thoughts were on that match. And had you wrestled Sami Callihan in a one-on-one or even a tag before that match?
Actually, but to mention it, me and Sami Callihan actually had a feud back at American Lucha Corps way back in the day, a long, long time ago. I can't remember, 2006, 2007, something around there. We had a feud. So we wrestled a couple times then. I think three shows in a row we wrestled. And a little tidbit for you, my only ROH dark match that took place in 2007, maybe, 2007, I can't remember, 2007, 2008, came against Sami Callihan in Cleveland, Ohio. So I wrestled him a little bit. We haven't wrestled each other in a very, very long time. AAW was the first time we wrestled him, like, a good 3 years, I think. And it was exciting to get in the ring with him because that's another guy who's improved a bunch, another guy who's grown a bunch, just like Ricochet, just like me, just like everyone else. And you really enjoyed that match. I talked to you afterwards, and you really enjoyed it, so I'm glad.
It was very good stuff. I mean, I think just the incredible amount of action that was in those 20 minutes. You know, I think
I was excited, too. I was excited that, like, because I think when I wrestled in AEW before, again, that's another instance where you never got to see the real me. You had to see the me who, you know, more downtrodden and more, you know, I always had a headache whenever I go to the Bourbon Eagles Club, too. But it's always weird. I don't know. It's the altitude in Chicago. Altitude in Berwyn, Illinois, I think. It always throws me off.
It's probably the smell of the building. That's what gets you.
So I was excited I actually got to be me for a minute and show, like, the people at Berwyn that, hey, I'm actually a pretty decent professional wrestler.
You're not just some goofy guy that's wrestling, you know, whoever, and you're wearing a scrunchie. Plus, I think it's been a long time since people saw you. Yeah, once in a while, you're pretty decent.
A little bit, sometimes.
But what were your thoughts on Mr. Miller? Was a guy that really, really impressed me. And what were your thoughts on him after that match?
Man, he brought it. He saw an opportunity that he was in the ring with people like Sammy and me and Silas, who maybe have a bit of a buzz. And people are going to see the match, and they're going to be like, oh, man, Johnny's in the match, or Sammy's in the match, or Silas is in the match, and let's give it a watch. But I think he took the most of his opportunities, and he said, like, okay, well, the match, people are going to maybe watch it to see those guys. I'm going to actually take a little bit from it, and I'm going to show these people what I got, too. And I think that's the best thing you could possibly do when you're I feel weird saying a younger guy, because I'm 24. when you're a younger guy, and you're in the ring with guys who maybe have a bit of a buzz and people who, you know, maybe the internet's talking about or people are talking about. When you're in the ring with guys like that, that's your time to really show, hey, it's not about these guys, I can hang with them too. Because I remember when I was in that position, that was the same thing I was doing. I was at an early age, put in the ring with guys like Shelley and guys like Nigel and guys like that, who had incredible buzz and people who were incredibly talented, and I took that time to learn from them. I took that time to show the world that, hey, these guys are good, but I can actually do some cool stuff too. So I think he made the most of his opportunities.
All right, well, we're going to let you get out of here, but before we do that, why don't you go ahead and plug whatever it is that you want to plug. Obviously, you can plug Evolve, DGUSA, your Twitter, your Facebook. Go to it, my friend.
Of course. Everyone, go to DGUSA.tv for all your Dragon Gate USA needs. I think you can get Evolve stuff there, too, now. So go ahead, check out that. And go to WWNLive.com and make sure to check out the iPay-per-view Evolve 10, a tribute to the arena. It'll be me versus Ricochet, and it's going to... a lot of people like to talk on podcasts and they like to sell matches. I don't think I need to sell it. I'm just telling you, I know the magnitude of how much the arena means to independent professional wrestling, how much it means to professional wrestling, period. I know the history of that building. I know the great moments it had in there, and trust me, me and Ricochet are going to do it justice, and we're going to send that arena out on a high note. We're going to give you everything we have. I'm going to pour my heart out in that ring. I can guarantee you that, to give the people what they want, give the people what they need, and do that arena justice. You can follow me on Twitter at Johnny Gargano. You can find me on Facebook. You can do all that good stuff. And please, 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 just keep supporting independent professional wrestling and doing what you guys do, and start by pre-ordering Evolve 10 this Saturday night.
All right, Johnny, thank you very much. Obviously, you've got a busy week of interviews ahead, and thank you for making Pro Wrestling Ponderings your first stop here.
Of course, always, pal,
anytime. All right, thanks, Johnny. Good luck next week, and kill it. I know you can kill it, but just do it for all the great wrestling fans in Philadelphia and around who are going to be watching.
Oh, you know I'm going to. Of course.
All right.
I have to.
All right, have a good night. So there you have it. It is going to be just a wacky and incredible weekend of wrestling next week. AAPW is the place that I'm going to be. I'm going to be in Marion, Illinois, doing my thing there, watching El Generico and Pac and Colt Cabana. But I know that a lot of the interest in independent wrestling for next week is going to be based around what's going on in Philadelphia. Evolve 10, a tribute to the arena. We will have live coverage on ProWrestlingPonderings.com of everything that goes on. There will be some sort of live report going, as well as Kevin Ford will be at the building for CZW and Evolve. I'm not sure if he's going to be tweeting on the Pro Wrestling Ponderings account yet, but hopefully we can hash that out later as well. Before we get out of here, let's do some plugs. If you would like to follow us on Twitter and for next week, we strongly urge you to do so. You can go to twitter.com/PWPonderings. The links to the various articles that we write up go up there. Facebook.com/PWPonderings. Please like us. And comment on the articles, the links, and all that good stuff. And make yourselves more interactive with this website as 2012 begins here. And also, for all these podcasts, please make sure that you go onto iTunes and leave a 4- or 5-star review. Tell everybody how much you're enjoying these shows. And make sure that people can find us. The better reviews that we get, the more that we get, the more people that are going to be able to discover what we're doing here at Pro Wrestling Ponderings. In addition to that, you can follow me on my personal Twitter. That is twitter.com/JeromePWPEditor, as well as reading my articles. I do PWG, Chikara, and AAW DVD reviews. Please make sure that you are reading those and seeing what's going on in the world of professional wrestling, specifically the indies. Make sure you're checking that out. I will be having Joshi Mania DVD reviews going up this week. And as the month wears on, I will be reviewing whatever AAW and PWG are putting out as well. So a lot of really good stuff that's going to be coming out in the next few weeks. Please just make sure to continue to support the website. We thank everybody for their continued support. We've got a lot of really good things that are going to be cooked up this year as far as projects go and everything moving forward. Obviously, tonight we had our first ever interview with Gabe Sapolsky. It's going to be a very, very fun year. For Gabe Sapolsky, for Adam and Chris, and for Johnny Gargano, my name is Jerome Cusan. You have been listening to The Interview Show. Thank you very much for listening.